The subject of this lecture is the possible and the impossible. Told that God is the doer of the impossible. And every time you pray, you have reached the impossible in your life. Yet, for some unknown reason, after you have come to the conclusion that you can go no further and decide to pray, generally nothing happens but frustration. Because you are told how to pray. When you pray, you believe. Period. That's as far as you can possibly go. You have already done everything you possibly could. You have the best health you can at this time. You have the most wealth that you can get together and the most happiness that you can bring out. And it isn't enough. So you are still seeking it. But it is unfortunate that instead of allowing the impossible thing to pass out by recognizing God as the doer of the impossible, you still work with it and try to make God do your bidding. The moment you see how utterly worthless and hopeless it is for you to continue denying and working and affirming and all those things you've learned how to do to try to shape or change the mind of God, at that moment, the inflow of life, the word comes. It's exactly the same thing with prayer. Prayer is actually recognition. And when you recognize the thing, there is nothing more you can do with it. God is the doer of the impossible. Do you hear that? It is such a wonderful statement. It is such a glorious law. It will free you from the impossible things that you have had about you in the twinkling of an eye. It says that one with God is the majority. But most people think they become one with God to influence God to do their way. My ways are above your ways, as the heavens are above the earth. That is the law. I did not make it. You either hear it or you don't hear it. We have been going for hundreds of years saying all the magnificent laws. But because you say a law, that does not make it so. It's already so. But it does not make it operative, even if you say it, until you become a thing in operation. And you cannot become a thing in operation until, like a drop of water, you lose the perimeter of John Smith, and, as Jesus did, went to the Father, or asked to have himself brought to a point where he was before Abraham and all those things. He asked to be glorified with the glory he had. That's exactly what you're seeking when you seek to get an answer to your prayer. When you pray, believe. Period. God is the doer of the impossible. God is the doer of the impossible. God is the doer of the impossible. Can you hear? I'm not talking anything about the things that you have in your life that are possible, or how you have been told that you may gain some force whereby you can control God. I'm speaking about a law, and you will hear it. If you ever hear that God is the doer of the impossible, I said, if you ever hear it, then you will begin to see what you have formerly called miracles take place with the same ease as you have seen the evil in your life repeatedly come into being without any effort on your part. It is because you use all the laws of God in bringing about the evil in your life that it comes so easily. You let it happen. You know that it is going to happen. You expect it. You fight it, which makes it real, because you cannot fight nothing. You must have something to fight. Now, God is the doer of the impossible. And when you pray, you're at a point of the impossible, no matter how small it is, how great it is. He said you could fill yon mountain of belief, be cast into the sea, and it should be so. But you can say it a million times using your little human intellect and see nothing but frustration take place within you. You have wondered and asked and demanded and called upon God in no uncertain terms, and said, why am I in this awful place? Why has this thing come upon me, seeing I've done so much for thee? There is no answer. You're still asking questions. You do not realize that if you could ever stop this and make the recognition of the presence here, there, and everywhere, and had already established in your consciousness that he was the doer of the impossible, you would not then be in such a state of frustration. Today, the whole world is in a state of frustration. You meet nobody in the street that does not say the same thing and repeat it to you. It is wonderful that you of all people, have suddenly, in some remote way, touched upon this law. If you will follow through the law, it will develop in you and come to a higher point. He said the first thing you do is to go in and shut the door. All of this may seem very involved and difficult, and it is as long as you are trying to use the human thought. But remember that this was given to a child, not because of his intellect or not because of his years, but because he had a capacity to suddenly tune in unconsciously on the law of life. You may plant a seed, but you can't make it grow. You are told to cast the seed in the ground and let. And when you go in and shut the door, if you think you're going to make this thing happen, you are still on the wrong side of the door. When you go in and shut the door, you close out the human thought. You, like a child, suddenly begin to listen in a way you have not listened before. And as you are in this state of oneness, as you, like a drop of water, have lost the perimeter and become pure spirit, not by the mental effort, but by recognition, you hear the knock at the door. That is the annunciation of you. That is the unborn you. That which was created in the image and likeness of God, coming back into its own. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Behold, don't think. When you behold, you let go of all the nonsense you have had regarding other things, miracles, and everything else. You are now at a point where you behold. Behold, it's coming near you. It's at the door. It is at the diaphragm of your mind. If any man, and it doesn't make any difference what kind of a reprobate he may have been, or what kind of a spiritual giant he may have been, if he hears, he will open unto me. That is, he will surrender, seeing that he has made such a failure of everything and has come to the impossible, the incurable disease, the incurable condition that is around you, where all the world has pronounced it hopeless. That is the very point that this doer of the impossible comes in. So you open, and it comes in, that you become one. You become one with the unborn. The flesh and the spirit are made one. You are told, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Then you must have what is known as the spiritualized flesh. And if you have a spiritualized flesh, it is the substance through which everything from the invisible is set down to a point of visibility. And that is why, through Jesus, everything was made manifest. We are not speaking about doing tricks to entertain or mystify people. That can be done from a human hypnotism. I have seen many things done that could not be done, really, by mass hypnotism in India. But it does not last. And the one that does it has no power at all except that one thing that he has studied and brought into a point of manifestation. But you, when you pray, you go on another angle. You believe. Period. That's all there is. There isn't any more. You believe that you're breathing air, but you don't demonstrate it. And you don't work with it. And you don't try to make it. The more you do, the more the conditions in your body become so that they will not accept air. And presently you're unable to breathe. Same thing is true as prayer. Prayer is so simple, so magnificent, could change, will change, the entire face of the earth, but not at your bidding. Then you are given the other laws that are so important. You look for no sign. For anybody who looks for a sign, in reality does not pray, does not believe. When he really prays, he will look for nothing. Having done all, he will stand and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you this instant or later. It doesn't make any difference. But one thing for sure, you are going to see the impossible take place right in your life, no matter what the thing has been. You are beginning to understand. Do not ask, tell me, because I know. Before you ask, I know everything you are going to say. How could it be otherwise with a universal intelligence? It would know everything. You within yourself have gone far astray and believe that you have to tell everything. But he said, before you ask, I will answer. The answer is before the asking, and that is because that is what makes you ask. You think you are praying and trying to make a demonstration for something that you desire so much within yourself. But the reason you are doing that is that the very thing that you desire is there, awaiting recognition. But nobody wants to take this. He has learned from man, his breath is in his nostrils, many fantastic ideas. He has gone to the higher Himalayas and brought back many physical exercises and thoughts and everything else, hoping that he can thus control the will of God. But the will of God is like the wind that bloweth where it listeth. No man, that includes you, shall say whither goest thou. You are beginning to have your eyes opened. You are beginning to see the fabulous nature of this law that our beloved gave to us. He gave it. Regardless of what condition or position you were in, or what you had done or had not done, the moment the recognition is made, the manifestation occurs. It is wonderful. Before you ask, then desire must be prayer, in a way, and the desire is already fulfilled, but you cannot accept such a thing because you are so hypnotized, walking up and down and to and fro in the universe, trying to make things match up with the human teaching and the human reasoning, not knowing at the moment that you use reason, human reasoning, you destroy everything because you are only working with manifestation. And manifestation is on its way out the minute it comes in. Yes, before you ask, I will answer. Is that soon enough? And you have been told another law, which is very important. See, until we have these laws given to us, they are given to us for self-protection. They are given to us to save us from this human mind of the ancestor teacher. Before you ask, I will answer. But I have told you in the final conclusion, see that you tell no man. It is very essential that you follow these laws. Then when you pray, you will forget. Then when you pray, you will drop the seed into the ground. Then when you pray, you will know the doer of the impossible has taken over, and the impossible to you becomes impossible to him, and you are healed. Yes, God is the doer of the impossible because, in reality, he is only a revelator. Since creation was finished and done, and called very good, the contact with this universal power causes you to see that which is. You have gone far astray in the idea that you could create and co-create and help God in many ways. Finally, you discover that you are sent for the purpose of showing forth that which already is, And as you see the picture appear on a film or on a plate that you've taken and are developing in a dark room, it comes up from complete obscurity into a thing called a negative. It is very interesting that the minute that you have this, the minute you make the recognition, the reproduction of it is infinite. You can make millions of pictures from one picture that you have taken. It is well for you to hear that one prayer that you have made, actually made, will reproduce after its kind until you destroy it or disintegrate it. This is the idea given to us by the doer of the impossible. When you pray, believe you receive. There is no ambiguity in that. It is straightforward talk. You either hear or you do not. You hear or you still want to try and reason. And yet you will say that God is the doer of the impossible. The impossible is the thing you are praying for. But since you have failed so ignominiously to bring it into being, with all your best efforts, with all your teaching, one day you will stop trying and you will let. But do not think the letting is a mere letting go that you may slouch down in to a lot of human belief. When you let from the dimension of life, it is because you have integrity and decency enough in you to fulfill without question and without doubt. So when you go within and pray, you begin to follow instructions. You do not make them. And when you pray, you believe. And that is as far as you go. And finally you discover that. And then you stay in this consciousness of the oneness of God. One, you with God, by recognition, is a majority, not maybe, or not perhaps. And you begin to see the results of this marvelous recognition. It says that you are a new creature. It does not say partially new, reconstructed, rejuvenated, or anything of the kind. That newness has always been there. It is a freshness of a creation. It is the unborn you rising up to the surface, as it were, coming into being, that you are a new creature. In this Christ Jesus consciousness. The Christ Jesus consciousness is the Word made flesh and the flesh made spirit. It is the point through which passes. And he said, ask. That's the invitation. You're going to try to ask. You cannot. You will ask finally from the point of recognition. And you will look for no sign. And you will ask for no sign. Yes, God is the doer of impossible. You are about to pray to him, not beseech and beg and agonize and tell him what to do. You are beginning to blend into that like a drop of water into the ocean. You are one with God. It is a majority. God is the doer of the impossible. And your problem is true. Can you hear? Can you hear? Do you believe? Listen. Listen. The minute you do, you will hear the knock at the door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. It is the you and your body coming together. The soul and the body becoming one. And if any man opens unto me, I will come in and sup with him. And he with me. It is well. Do you hear? All gone into a far country. The senses have been so distorted by ancestor teaching that our hearing, our sight, our taste and touch have all been stopped down to a level of human thought. That is why so often we hear the law of the Master, "You have ears and hear not. You are asked to hear. You are told that my sheep hear my voice." All these things are meaningless. The illustrations are meaningless. But when you go beyond these things and begin to really hear, then you hear. Every statement emanating from the mind of God is a law, which, if you were to hear, would become an action. For the minute you hear a law, actually hear it, it performs a physical action. When Jesus said, "Rise and walk," right away, a physical body started movement. When he said to a dead man, "Come forth," right away, the dead body came forth. These are things so weird and so fantastic that the average person does not want to even listen to them. He thinks they are imagination. At the same time, he will say he believes in the law of Jesus Christ. Well, you have tried nearly everything. It is time now that you come back. You, the prodigal, who have gone so far away, you have ears and hear not. He said that to people standing in front of him. He said, "Open, open your eyes." And suddenly, you begin to hear a little the words spoken to you through the beloved of God. Can you hear? It is done by recognition. It is nothing strange. It is given to the child, not the little child, not the little one playing around, but the child in consciousness that can accept without equivocation and without trying to make things happen. Rise up and walk. If you were to contemplate this, if you were paralyzed, and suddenly heard this, unthinkingly, because who by taking thought can do anything, you would rise and walk. The whole would operate in exactly the same way. But we try to make it, after we have said it, after we claim that we have heard it, we then turn the human mind, which is nothing but a liar and the father of it, in to see what it can do by reason. It's reasoning. It's all wrong, and it cannot accomplish anything but failure. So the noun becomes the verb. So we see the thing moving, manifestation moving. It is moved by the power of God. Even as the wind blows where it lifts it, so this power of God operates you instead of you operating it. This does not make you an automaton. It makes you a point of expression of a power so wonderful that nothing is impossible to it. But not until you can go in and shut the door and relax to a point of letting go of all preconceived notions and ideas can this possibly take place through you. Be prospered. What an exciting statement. The man who wants money, who is greedy for money. He cannot conceive of it. He desires it. All desire is good, but the interpretation is bad. The bank robber's desire is perfectly good. He wants substance. He thinks that it will give him freedom. And the only place he knows where it is in the bank. Its interpretation is bad. But no worse than many people who are praying and praying and praying, and with their little minds thinking how they can manipulate God and make him heal the sick, or raise the dead, or do any of the things that he's already done. is trying to bring you to a new height, a new level, that you will begin to recognize that before you ask, I will answer, is the truth and not something that you are going to make happen, but something that has already taken place. When you make the recognition of it, action starts in you. The Lazarus dead 4 days, the Jesus dead 3 days, and thousands of others in worse conditions suddenly hear. And when they hear, this action starts to move in them. It is like the light that goes into the temple and drives the money changers and dust sellers to the door. All of this is so poetic and so filled with illusion that the human mind says, yes, I know, but, and if, and am. And so it is nothing. It shakes the dust from off its heels. If you do not accept it, nobody cares. It is you. And nobody believes it. And that is why you are told to go in and shut the door. That is why you are told to tell no man. For the man does not believe. And he will demand that you prove it. And you cannot prove it because you have to prove it. Because you are told to prove me now and see for yourself if I will not open windows in heaven and pour out a blessing that you cannot receive. Why do you bother about wondering whether you can get the little thing you're trying to demonstrate? When are you going to get over the idea of demonstration that you or any other man or woman can make things happen that would not happen by the will of God? It is true, certain things do take place by the hypnosis of the human mind, by the recognition of the presence in which you live and move and breathe and have your being. And at the same instant, it lives and moves and breathes and has its being and its identity in you. You are the divine identity. Without an entity, God would be a non-entity. With you as that entity, that identity, you begin to see the force moving through you, literally, no more symbolically, but literally. And it searches the joints and the marrow. Could you once come to this recognition? All the evil and pain and rheumatism and arthritis and everything else that has bound your body and hypnotism and paralysis would suddenly give way for this inflood and this outflow of life. For this, right here, right now, as I speak to you, as you listen, is life eternal. It is life. It is life. Life eternal. You are asked to let the mind be in you, which operated through this Jesus, the carpenter, the Nazarene. It is invitation. If you cannot hear it, you will try to make it as thou have done. They have worked and prayed and studied and everything else, trying to make the very power that operated through Jesus operate through them with small success. But when they see the invitation, it says, let. How could you let a thing take place you did not believe in? What is the good for you to come laden with all the ancestral teaching and then think by saying a few words it will take place? This requires contemplation. This requires quiet. This requires such a recognition within you that the very perimeter of your body and affairs gives way and you are one with the infinite. The inflow and the outflow, you begin for the first time to hear, my sheep hear my voice. When you hear, when you let the mind flow through you, it will, as it did through the body of Jesus, neutralize every evil thing that came in its presence. It comes in you in one way, and it flees in ten, because of the steady flow of the presence. Through the human thought pictures, through the coagulation of belief. And you are asked a simple question. Who by taking thought, why are you persisting taking thought then, that you can in some way control its magnificence, at the same time saying that all things are possible to God, that God is the doer of the impossible. How can he do it if you will not sidestep the issue and let the power flow through you like a never-ending stream of water? It upgushes in you like the geysers in Yellowstone National Park, shooting hundreds of feet into the air and retiring again into silence. It is like a mighty wave that comes upon the ocean and gives its form and shape and expression. So is its power. It will transform you. You are told you are to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind takes place through recognition. When you recognize the presence in which you live and move and breathe and have your being, then you begin to unconsciously experience many, many changes. You will find things have taken place that you have not thought of. You will find conditions around you changing. And suddenly you will recognize that you have arrived by a way you knew not of, that you are at a different level. So will you begin to see the naturalness of this law. And Solomon singing said, for the winter is past. The rains are over and gone. The flowers appear on the land, and the time of the singing of birds has come, and the turtle dove is heard in the land. This can be real and true to you, no matter how frozen the exterior may be, no matter if you are buried in snow to your eyebrows, suddenly you can hear the winter is gone. The rains are over and gone. You are beginning to hear. You are beginning to hear the song of the soul. Psalm is used as a symbol of the soul. That winter condition has passed. You are beginning to merge into an eternal spring of the kingdom of heaven, here and now. For this is the kingdom of heaven. Always I call your attention to the fact that Jesus is the materialist. He was talking about the earth and the fullness thereof, yet he has shoved this away into some imaginary place where nobody at this time seems to know the direction and will pay no attention to his direction, but will try to shove this heaven off into a place beyond a thing called grave, all of which is nothing but a mass of human thinking. This is life eternal, to know me, not maybe or not perhaps, is. And when you can take it and let it alone and keep your meddlesome mind away from it, then it begins to show forth in many forms. Be still. Be very still. Very still. And finally, all the old human clatter, the old human desires will be disintegrated. Take what you will, ask what you will, and it shall be, not maybe, not perhaps. These are laws I am talking to you about. I am not talking to you in Oriental poetry. I am talking to you if you can hear. But if you cannot hear, you will hear only dead letters. And when I say the winter is over and gone, I mean exactly that, in the dead of your so-called human winter. If you cannot hear, you cannot hear. And you will try to make it so. It is wonderful when you awaken, and you're told so often to awake God as speakers, for Christ shall give thee light. Christ is the illumination within you. Jesus of himself could do nothing. You have proven definitely that you can do very little or nothing. Yes, I. You have met up with the impossible in your life. And as I have said to you, you have the best possible help you can get. You have the most money you can get. The best opportunity you can get. And it isn't any good. Because when you begin to hear the word of life, you lose the perimeter and the outline of all these things. You lose the limitation of health and move over into a sea, an ocean of life, which flows in and out and flows in and out and searches literally and actually the joints and the marrow. And eventually you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and you shall be renewed as the eagle. None of these things are true to the human mind. Therefore, you are warned to tell no man, because you will not believe. He will only turn and rend you, because you cannot prove it when you have told it. But you can show it, and he will come and bear witness to it. For the winter is past. That is the level that people are coming into today. Some people are beginning to hear the words of Jesus Christ and the hard, fast winter of human belief and knowledge is past. And the rain, the devastating rain, are over and gone. And you begin to see manifestations of one sort or another, for the flowers appear. From where? From the invisible. Do you stand aghast at a field suddenly becoming a riot of color, of a desert, suddenly becoming a riot of blossoms? No, but it came out of nothing. Why do you not know that this manifestation can come out of a nothingness into the somethingness? Why do you not recognize that Jesus was a truth-sayer and was not a liar? Why do you not hear? Why do you not be quiet and look for no sign and forget it and go your way, and in due time it shall come into manifestation? At a moment you think not. When you have accepted it, you forget it. But as long as you're remembering it, you're trying to make, and you cannot do it. So the winter has passed, and the rains are over and gone, and the flowers appear on the land, and the time of the singing of birds. All of this is something going on within you. And the voice of the turtle dove is heard in the land. So is it well with you. So have you discovered that God is the doer of the impossible.